Get your bids ready. This is a little bit different territory for us on the podcast, but today we're tackling buying property on online auctions. This is the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast. Today we're discussing the good, bad, and ugly of buying properties from online auctions. It's anxiety-inducing and has risk involved, but you may just get a good price on a profitable investment property. Stay tuned for this discussion and more on today's episode. But first, a word from our sponsor.
If you've been listening to this podcast, then you understand or should understand the pitfalls of investing in Cleveland real estate. Say you're looking for an investment property to rent, and these are the things that could happen and often do. You overpay for a house and it's in the ghetto. Then you find that it's a money pit with endless surprise repairs. Your hapless property manager, who may be the brother-in-law of the realtor, gets a tenant who after 3 months stops paying the rent. Then the toilet explodes, and you have nobody to repair it because, guess what? The property manager is not answering the phone. Yep, that's the ugly side of the Cleveland real estate market. But we have a solution. Buy one of our properties. It's been inspected. It's been vetted. It's in a rock-solid part of town. It comes with a Gold Star tenant paying top dollar rent, and we manage it. Call us at 216-371-8160 if you're interested.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Riley with my sidekick, Mike Ferrante. How you doing, Mike?
Fantastic, Mr. Riley. Just another day in paradise here in Cleveland.
Except paradise is now clouded over and we're starting to get some rain, and then the next couple of days it'll be in the 50s and real fall like. But
yeah, but hey, rain here, there's people in California who would kill for rain, right?
I know. Well, there's no smoke from forest fires, so anyways, next week should be a great fall week. It's supposed to be in the mid upper 60s and leaves are going to start hitting their peak. Although right now I'm looking out my back window here and everything is green. I mean, it's sort of like, where is the fall colors? How about out where you live?
It's coming. The maples are turning. I've got red and yellow where I'm at. I'm in Shaker right now, but yeah, the maples are already pretty much turned, but yeah, there's still a lot of green.
Okay. Yeah, well, I say that every year, so we'll see. Usually they say the peak is the week of October 18th, but we've had kind of a funny summer. It's a little warmer, it's not as cold. I could remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you'd get around Thanksgiving, get a little wet snow, like an inch. So
for sure.
Yeah. So anyways, all right, look, today's session, and we're going to do a two-parter. The first part is we're going to talk about auctions, going online, doing auctions. And our second part will be recorded next week, early next week, after we have gone on, after the auction process. So believe it or not, folks, we have never bought a house at an auction. And the reason is most of our property purchases are private sales, where our customers, longtime customers through our contracting business, Riley Painting and Contracting, of 40 plus years, we have a relationship with them. And a lot of times we hear these houses are going on the market before the realtors do. And you've been called in a number of times on these, Mike, over the years, where they just want somebody to sell their house.
That's right. Yeah. And the other source is from your realtor. I've got, I haven't even had a chance to talk to you yet, but I've got two right on your street that might be hitting the market. So
really?
Yeah, you got to have your antenna up all the time.
It's not just like, my neighbor across the street is selling.
No, I'll tell you more, but yeah, there's two right on your street and I know you're going to be excited to hear about it.
All right. Well, folks, this might be a third podcast. But anyways, we haven't done auctions, folks, for a couple of reasons. And one is buyer beware. I mean, we've actually seen people buy houses through Google Earth or Google Street, and they're sitting at their, you know, condo in California, and they're looking at a house for $30,000. They see it on Google Earth, and they're sitting tapping away, and they, you know, they buy it for $40,000. They're just kind of like, hey, man, this is like printing money, right?
Yeah.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Well, how about the house just got bulldozed?
That's right.
There's no house there.
That's actually happened. Yeah. I mean, I know people are saying, oh, come on, but that actually happened. I know a lady in South Euclid. She bought a house out of state, came here to check it out. It was gone.
Right. So the first thing is, if you're going to buy a house online, make sure the house is still standing. Rule number one. Okay, that's why you listen to this podcast, because you're getting this, you're getting all the wisdom here. The second rule is, make sure it's not encumbered with all these sneaky liens, so that when you pay $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, there's no surprise liens coming along. You want to elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So another part of the lien sort of thing is, make sure it's not slated for demo. You know, make sure it's not already on the radar of the city that you're in, because even though it's standing today, when you place your bid, like the lady I just told you about, she came a week or two later and the house was gone. It was already slated for demo. But as far as liens, everyone thinks that a sheriff sale wipes out all the liens, and 99% of the time, it does, but there's always that 1% or 0.1% that somehow get missed. And I know two different people who have bought houses at sheriff sale. Both of them had title issues, not necessarily liens, but some kind of title issues after the fact, things that kind of slid through the auction process and that blank slate that usually happens. So they should have bought title insurance.
Right. Exactly. Or use a good title company. Like the house we're going to be bidding on next week on Tuesday online is a house where we've already had the legendary Fast Tony of Fast Track Title do a title search. So whatever check we're writing, if we get the house, there's going to be no surprise $30,000, $40,000 lien coming out of left field.
That's right.
It's rare, but it does happen. Now, the house we're looking at is an interesting property, because it is, I think the owner lived there for probably 30 years. I remember doing work at the house for the original owner. So they sold the house, and this elderly man, but he was probably in his 60s. He and his wife moved in, they bought the house, and the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, I mean, the house has just fallen apart. I mean, the grass is overgrown, you know, there's garbage, you know, blowing around the backyard. And the guy was, you know, in his 80s, his wife had died, and he was just counting the days until he joined her in heaven. So as a result, the house was a major eyesore. And this house was... And I, you know what? Everybody go on their Google Maps. Let me tell you what the address is. It's 1290 Forest Hill Boulevard, 44118. 1290 Forest Hill Boulevard, 44118. Now, that is on the corner of Forest Hill Boulevard and Monticello. And two houses up the street from that house is one of our... five-star Airbnbs, 1310 Forest Hill Boulevard. And that is a beautiful house. And across the street from that house is one of our high-end Airbnbs, and a beautiful house that we fixed up. On either side of our Airbnb at the 1310 house, these houses are magnificently taken care of. Beautiful gardens, you know, country club looking front yard. And then you have 1290 next to it, a total dump. In fact, I've gone over there a couple of times just to clean up the garbage flying around. So this house is coming up for auction. And even if we have to overpay a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, it's going to be worth it, because just cleaning up that house is going to add value to our two properties that are next door. Can I add to that, Mike?
Well, that's what we always talk about. You know, it's not just your house that you're selling when you're selling a house. It's a neighborhood. And if your neighbor's house is all jacked up, you know, it doesn't reflect well when buyers come and look at it. So it's 100% true.
Yeah. And it's not just buyers, but, you know, we may have people driving around the neighborhood. They want to take a look at, yeah, we're interested in renting this house short term, one of our Airbnbs. And, you know, they got to drive past this house. Looks like it's a dilapidated ghetto house, but the neighborhood as a whole is beautiful. So this is an opportunity for us to, you know, just almost play Monopoly. This would be a third house. It's a perfect house for an Airbnb because it's not on one of these streets where, you know, they have block parties and street associations. This house on the corner, those are two, you know, fairly busy streets. They're not, you know, not a freeway, but it's a perfect house for an Airbnb. And the location to the Cleveland Clinic, it's 5-10 minutes away. It's a ranch house. So it's perfect for a lot of our patients at the clinic coming in who want to rent from us. So yeah, if we got to overpay just to clean it up, I think we're going to, over the long haul, the next year or two, we're going to make our money back. Thoughts on that before we move on to the auction process?
No, I think it's great that you look at the big picture and, you know, the rental value. That's a great point. You know, you can't just look at real estate in a vacuum. It's the neighbors, it's the neighborhood, it's trends in the area, you know, so, you know, you're not just buying a house, you're buying a whole package.
Exactly. And especially if you're playing Monopoly and you're buying another house on your street, now you're starting to control the block. And the neighbors, 9 times out of 10, they're thrilled that you're going in, buying this house, and really not just fixing it up, but making it a showcase.
If you have any questions for us or topics you want to discuss or even just want to say hi, you can email us at thecleavelandrealestateinvestor@gmail.com.
Right. Talk to me about, and I know you're not an expert on this, Mike, so I'll do the full disclosure. okay. So tell me about your auction experience, as limited as it is.
Yeah. Well, and so I'm a little different in that I have purchased homes, plural, from the sheriff's auction. That said, as you know, I bought them prior to this online format that they've gone to that is a lot like eBay. And it being online now has pluses, but I also feel there's minuses. Of course, from a buyer's perspective, it has made it quite easy for anyone anywhere in the world to go online and bid. And if you've listened to any of our podcasts, you know, we've talked about the risks of that and having the boots on the ground, having the right team. How many times have we told a story about, oh, I bought a house and I'm getting killed on it because I didn't know what I was doing or I didn't know the house or the neighborhood. But that said, it's a lot like eBay right now. You go online, you register, you give them money on deposit in order to be able to bid. You got to deposit some money and it depends on the price range, how much you need. And if you're going to buy multiple houses, you have to have multiple deposit. Place your bid and you hope that you're the winner.
Right. But you were saying something, the way the online thing is structured now, you got these trolls working it.
The snipers. Right. Yeah. So a lot like eBay. If you've ever been on eBay, used to be they call them snipers. There would be an item that someone would want and you'd have someone with time to kill and they would sit there and wait for the auction to come down to the last few seconds and then they would throw their bid at it and it would not allow anyone else to beat them. So if they could come in and snipe it at the end, now eBay got smart. And what they started doing is they would extend the auction when that happened. So if it was the last X amount of time and a bid came in that was the new high bid, the auction automatically gets extended. The sheriff sale does the same thing now. The problem with that is that if you are going to be one of those people that sits there and watches the bidding, it takes a long time. The first two sales participated in, I waited for hours for my sale to come up and there was only about 2 pages of sales and it took about 8 hours for the auction to conclude. And 2 pages is about 30, 32 houses. That's all they were selling. And it took all day.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, and also this is going to be a very interesting experience for us because not only navigating the eBay-like process, but also the fact that I think our chances of getting this house are probably 10%. Because I think the reality now, especially where it's become a seller's market, is there is so much dumb money floating around, just dumb. And, you know, we said in earlier podcasts, they're overpaying for properties, and they don't have usually the team in place. And what I mean team is the contractors that can come in and take care of it. Now, I've seen some companies, they really have their act together. I mean, you know, they buy it, they're in there 2 or 3 months later, it's a showcase and they flip it. And I also wonder how much money they actually made, because as a contractor, I know you buy a house for $50,000, but you may end up putting $100,000 in, and that's retail. That's $100,000. So you're making your profit on the contracting side. But the reality is you may sell it for $160,000 and you're selling it through a realtor. So really, how much money did you actually make on the flip? And a lot of times these flips, because they bought them, they paid too much and they didn't factor in how much it would cost to fix it up. And at the end of the day, they're really not making a lot of money. I mean, it looks good on paper. They bought it for 50 and sold for 160, but the net profit was what, 5,000?
Well, Mike, and that's what drives me crazy about the TV shows. They talk about flip this house or whatever, and oh, we bought it for this and put this much in, and here's our profit. We sold it for this. Here's our profit. They don't take a look at all the expenses, such as carrying costs. You know, how much did you pay in property taxes, utilities, insurance? Maintenance, were you cutting the grass? You know, I know some of these are small expenses, but we all know that that's not it. You know, they're not showing us the whole picture. The other thing about the dumb money, Mike, another way to state that is people from outside our area, they're using their own filters from their areas on our market. So for example, if they come in and say, oh, I can invest and put this up for rent and make this X return, which is great compared to what I can get here in California or Australia or wherever they happen to be from. The problem is that they're still kind of getting taken for a ride here by comparison to what's available in our market. They're saying it's better than what I can get. So that's great. I'll take it. And, you know, I guess if they're happy with that, that's up to them. But we scratch our heads and say, man, why did they pay so much for that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's you almost see why they, you know, the gold rush in the 1880s, things, human nature hasn't changed. I mean, if it sounds too good, buyer beware. I mean, really, you who have never bought a house, you who are listening to this podcast, you've never bought a house, you've never flipped a house. And why don't you just go to Vegas and play blackjack? I mean, the chances of you making money is probably slim and none. And the chances of you losing a lot of money, that's pretty high probability. So that's the way things have always been. People, you know, once people start surfing a beach, I mean, it's soon the word gets out, it gets overcrowded, and really there's no more surf that, you know, there's no more waves to surf or something like that. And so we've been fortunate because we've been able to leverage our contracting company and deal with our customers so we can do these off-market deals. And, you know, for our customers, it's great. I mean, it's so easy because, look, we're giving them a fair price. We're not trying to take, you know, care of a longtime customer, or we're not trying to sucker them, but they can take their time moving out. We can help dispose of the clutter. We'll take deal with the city. And then when they're ready to go, we step in, we write them a check, it's cash. And that's what it is. And everybody's happy. But this auction, it's a little bit of a wild, wild west out there. So it's going to be fascinating navigating through this process.
Yeah, I remember my first couple auctions, Mike, when I went in person, I was nervous. Like I felt like I was at the blackjack table, you know, that nervous excitement you get. So it is a bit of an experience, especially if you can still go in person. You know, some of the TV shows, they show the auctions occurring on the steps of the courthouse. I've never got to experience that. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But still, still, it's an experience to actually be there. Now, if you're online, it's more like eBay, but still, it's kind of cool. It is a cool process, but it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So the title of our podcast today is Buyer Beware. Any other things people should be aware of?
Definitely. So one of the things that always amazed me about these auctions, you know, we're talking about the snipers earlier. It always amazed me how you could see the bidders in the in-person auctions, and I can imagine them at their computers in the online format, but how they would be thinking about it the day of the auction. So the bid would go, they'd be outbid and they'd be thinking about it. Well, should I go a little higher? If you haven't done your homework and figured out all your expenses ahead of time and already know what your top bid is, then I hate to say it, but you're an amateur. You probably shouldn't be, just like you shouldn't be at the big stakes tables in Vegas. You should be at the $5 table, not the big boy table.
Right.
But I watched them do it. They would think about it. Well, I'll go a little. And then next thing you know, they get caught up in the frenzy and they just bid $15, $20, $30,000 more than what they had intended. And yet they won. It becomes a competitive thing, maybe even a machismo thing. Hard to say, but I watched it happen and I just couldn't believe my eyes.
Well, and you know what adds to the volatile mixture is the sexiness of real estate. Like, imagine you're Sanford and Son, and you've got a garbage truck, and you go around and you pick up, you know, garbage here, pick up this, pick up that, dispose, you know, your own little kind of, you know, customized garbage thing. And you're probably making money hands over fist doing that. You know why? Because nobody's doing it. And there's such a demand for that. So, I mean, you could probably pocket, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a day doing that. Yeah, you got the overhead of a truck, but, you know, and gas. But think about it. You know, you do that for 4 days a week, 4 days a week, long days. You're probably making somewhere around 3,000 times. You're making 12,000 after expenses, probably down to 10,000. Okay, that's 10,000 a week times 40 weeks. Let's say you take 3 months off, 40 weeks. That's $400,000 you're making. What are you making in real estate at the end of the day? Yet people will, if you tell people, what do you do for a living? Oh, I have a garbage hauling business. And what do you do for, oh, I'm in real estate, you know? Well, to the outsider, the guy in real estate, man, he's the one rolling in dough, but in reality, he's not making anything. You might as well be flipping burgers at McDonald's for the amount of money you end up making. And that is what adds to the dumbness of then the volatility of what we're in, and add into the fact all these sharks out there, ex-professors at Trump University, who are selling this consulting, these books, these tapes, these seminars, you know, stuff like that. And you know what? They make it sound so easy, like you said, and it's not.
It's funny you use the trash man analogy, because my brother-in-law, who's just a humble salt of the earth kind of guy, when you ask him what he does, he says, oh, I'm a garbage man. But what he doesn't tell you is that he owns two dumpster companies, one running construction boxes and one running trash. And the guy makes a serious living doing it. Now, he has scaled the business that you described, but you know, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the sexy. He says, I'm a trash man. I'm a garbage man.
Right. Exactly. And you know what, all you got to do is pick, you know what, before you get that, pay a couple $100 to buy books on how to be a real estate mogul, pick up the book, The Millionaire Next Door, and look at what these people do. The Millionaire Next Door. It's eye opening. And it is always, always the people that are making money and building financial security are doing it in very non-sexy ways.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody, look, you want to get in the real estate business, first thing you do, buy a duplex, live on the second floor, and rent out the third floor as an Airbnb. and you know what? That's a no lose situation because you're already paying your mortgage. But if you do it right at the end of the day and you price it right, you probably end up, you know, your total cost zero, because that first floor is going to pay for the mortgage, and then soon you pay it off, and there you have an asset. Don't rush into this. Don't go online and buy a bunch of properties and then go searching for a property manager or start building your team. It's like we said earlier, Mike, one of our podcasts, get the team in place first, and get the team like your accountant and your lawyer who have a no bullshit conversation with you. Are you really making money? Are you really, how much money you think you're going to make on this? Do the hours that you're going to spend into it. I made $10,000, but I spent 1,000 hours. Okay. You made $10 an hour.
That's right.
Okay. You made $10 an hour, Buster. All right. Where you could have made 15 to 20 in this market and worked Monday to Friday with no risk. So anyways, but buyer beware. Any other thoughts, Mike?
No, I think we hit everything on the auction. One last thought about the sexiness of real estate. Some of us, Mike, we just can't help it. We're in real estate and we're sexy.
Okay, Mike. Well, thanks for your time. And we're going to pick this up next week for more adventures on Auction Road.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, as always. Yep.
Okay. Let's talk in a minute. All right.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast. You can find all our episodes at www.riley-properties.com, or you can find us on your favorite streaming services like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, and more.